All right, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. If you have your Bibles, please open those up to Matthew chapter 13. That's where we will begin this morning. And for those who have been praying for cold weather, congratulations. It is out there. And so I wore a jacket today, so I'm prepared. If you're a guest with us, we are so glad that you are here. And if you came to Pleasant Valley thinking, man, I'm going to go to the perfect church. I'm going to go to the church that has it all together. And if you're a guest, you hear people giggling already. We are not a perfect church, but we serve a God who is perfect. And we are a family that comes together, and we encourage each other, we strengthen each other, and we lift each other up. And we are so glad that you're here. And if you walk out of here today as a guest and think, man, that was lame. That guy that preached today, he's terrible. That's okay. I'm just a fill-in. And so the normal guy who preaches is a lot better than I am. And so if you don't enjoy it today, just come back next week and you'll get to hear the real guy, which is, once again, a lot better. Anytime you read through the scriptures, for the most part, man, it's uplifting, it's fulfilling. Man, it just drives you, it gives you purpose. But let's be honest, there's sometimes when you read through the scriptures and it hits you upside the head with a sledgehammer. And you think, man, I wish I wouldn't have read that. And Matthew chapter 13 is one of those passages, more times than not, when I read through it or I study it or it comes up in conversation, it hits me upside the head with a sledgehammer. And so I thought that'd be a good place for us to start this morning. Maybe you too can get hit upside the head with a sledgehammer as we begin. And we'll start with verse 3. It says this, Matthew chapter 13. Then he told them many things in parables. Okay, let's just stop right there. If you're a guest with us, or you're a recent new Christian, or you're just trying to figure all this Christianity out, Jesus spoke a lot in parables. And what a parable is it's an earthly story that would have a spiritual or heavenly meaning. And so he would talk to the people about farming and fishing and different things that they could relate to, but then he would flip the conversation and say, just as you do those things, the kingdom of heaven is like that in this. And then he would challenge them with their faith and whatnot. And so that's what he's going to do right here in Matthew 13. And he starts off by saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. And so Jesus has given them the earthly meaning, and this is what he's saying. Back in the day before they had all these big equipment and whatnot, a lot of farmers would wear some type of satchel or bag of some sort and have a bunch of seed in it. And when they plowed the ground, they would go out and scatter the seed. And Jesus is telling them that just as you go out and scatter the seed, depending on what type of ground the seed lands in, depends on if that seed can grow to be the full potential that it's supposed to be, that it can grow to be the crop or the plant that it was intended to be. And he says, and there's four different types of ground. There's some ground that's like the path to where people are walking and it's just hard ground. And so when the farmer throws the seed right there, the seed can't penetrate the soil and it can't get down into the ground. And so the birds just come and take it away. And then he says, and then there's another type of ground like the rocky ground where there's some soil, but man, there's so many rocks that the seed can get down in there, but it can't really take deep root. And so when the sun comes out, it just scorches that plant and kills that plant off. And then he said, and there's a third type of ground called the thorn ground, where the seed can take deep root and it starts to grow to become the potential of what it's supposed to be. But due to thorns and different things around the area, it can't grow to be its full potential. And then he says, but then there's some seed that lands in the good soil where it takes deep root and it grows to be its full potential. Not only that, but the plant begins to multiply. And don't you just love the apostles? Because when he gets done, what do the apostles do? What are you talking about? I mean, you can almost see Matthew saying, Peter, what's he saying? Peter's like, I don't know. Ask John. I don't have a clue. And so later on, they pull Jesus aside and say, hey, that parable that you spoke earlier, what exactly were you talking about? And in verse 18, Jesus starts to explain it. He said, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And so now Jesus has given them the heavenly meaning. He's saying, just as a farmer goes out and sows his seed into a field, so too in the world today, the word of God is being spread out amongst the people listening. And it lands on them in different ways. He's saying there's a lot of people that are like the path in that when they hear the word of God, they don't let it penetrate their heart. They don't let it set in. They don't understand it. They don't believe it. And so Satan comes and takes it away. And then he says, and there's also a group like the rocky ground in that at first when they hear the word, they're excited. Man, they love what they're hearing and they're fired up about it. But then due to ridicule, persecution, hard times, they don't have deep root and eventually they fall away and go somewhere else. And then he said, there's a lot of people that are like the thorn ground in the world in that when they hear the word, they receive it and they like it. But due to different things within the world, due to the deceitfulness of wealth and really just living for this place here, this temporary place, they really don't let it change them into what God needs them to be. And then Jesus said, but then there's some seed that falls on the good soil where people just, they get it. They believe it. They live by it. They let them change them into what God needs them to be. Does that mean they're perfect? Absolutely not. But man, they live by it. This parable always hits me. Because I always think, where am I? Where are you? Because right now, when we just said that, when I just went through the four different types of ground that Jesus was talking about, some of you maybe in here can relate to the path. You're saying, you know, I don't understand it. I never have. I don't believe in God. I just don't get it. Some of you in here can relate to the rocky ground, where you're saying, you know what? I was once fired up. Or we know people that were once fired up, and they're no longer here. They're gone. They've drifted away. Some people in here can relate to the thorn ground where, you know, in reality, if we could be honest, we're living for this place. We're not really living for eternity. We haven't given our all to God yet. And some in here can relate to the good soil. You can say, you know what? It changed my life. The story of Jesus Christ has changed my life forever. And it's a parable to where we can all sit back and say, man, which ground am I? And it's a great time to reflect and go, all right, how's God's word changing me? But I'll be honest with you this morning. Not till a couple of months ago when I was studying through this parable and I was placing myself in one of the four grounds and thinking, how's God's word changed me? I thought to myself, never have I ever read this parable and seen myself in this parable, in this teaching, as the one wearing this. And I know what a lot of you are thinking right now. Don't put that bag on, Cash. Don't do it. You stop it. Some of you are gritting your teeth. Don't put that bag on. Because when you put that bag on, you know what this means. When you put this on, it now means that you're the one throwing the seed. You're the one scattering the seed. You're the one spreading the good news. In other words, I'm going to say it. Everybody take a deep breath. Evangelism. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, no, not evangelism. No, if I'd have known that that's what the sermon was, I'd have slept in or I'd have stayed in the deer woods. I would not be here this morning. As one Christian writer wrote in an article, he said this, evangelism, today's Christian curse word. Like, don't talk about evangelism. But when we read the parable of the sower, we tag ourselves as one of the four grounds, which we should. That's good. But do we ever tag ourselves as the one wearing the bag? Do we ever look out and say, I'm the one scattering the seed? I'm the one spreading the good news. And a lot of you in here do. I mean, a lot of you read that parable and you always see yourself wearing this bag. Many of you in here sleep in this bag. I mean, let's be honest. I could go around the auditorium right now. I'm seeing a lot of people. Steve Burton, Jim Wood, Brother Willie, Mr. Leon, Lisa Dykus. I mean, Tina Brown. I could go on and on of people that are always wearing this. And every chance they get, they're doing this. And in some people's lives, they're doing this. You need the word of God. But they're always wearing this bag. They never take it off. But if truth be told this morning, let's be honest, there's some of us in here who will do everything possible to stay away from this bag. when you see it, it's like it veers your path. You're like, oh, there's the bag, and you go around. It intimidates us for some reason. The word evangelism scares a lot of people. Some of you are twitching when I say it, like, ew, evangelism. You ever hear a song on the radio, ever be driving down the road and a song comes on and it takes you back to a certain time? Anybody ever done that? If you're driving down the road and a song comes on, you're like, oh, 1958 prom. Oh, yeah. Went with Judy Watson. I remember that night. Mm-hmm. Or you hear a word and that word takes you back to a certain time or intimidates you. For many people today, when we hear the word evangelism, here's some of the things that come to mind. Evangelism, door-to-door. How many of you ever went door-to-door as a kid, knocking? Yeah. Did you love that? Wasn't that so much fun? I talked to a lady about a month ago who said that when she hears the word evangelism, she thinks of going door-to-door knocking as a kid. And she told me a story that one day she went out and she went door-to-door knocking and she did this, dunk, 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 and stepped back and closed her eyes and prayed that they wouldn't answer the door. I mean, let's be honest, that's intimidating. But that's where some of us, when we think of evangelism, sharing the good news, you know, connect, grow, serve, and share, we think share, I've got to go door to door. A lot of people think that share means that, or evangelism means that we have to have all the answers. In order to wear this bag, I've got to have all the answers. If somebody asks me a question, boy, I got an answer. But that's not always necessarily the case. A lot of people think evangelism means that I've got to get a megaphone and stand on the corner over here and start yelling, repent, repent. And a lot of people are like, I'm not grabbing a megaphone. I'm just not doing it. A lot of people think that wearing this bag means that you have to stand in front of a large crowd, hundreds of people, and be able to speak. And let's be honest, the number one fear amongst people today is what? Public speaking. And so people are like, there's no way I'm standing in front of a crowd. A lot of people think, well, in order to wear this bag, I have to have everything perfect in my life. I can't have any sin in my life because how am I going to tell others about Jesus if my life's not in order? Or to wear this bag, it means that you have to go alone. Well, if I put this bag on, that means I'm going to leave you guys. See you later. And then you're walking off and you're kicking that can. Ding! And then every now and then you'll look back. It doesn't mean that. Everybody take a deep breath. Good, you actually did it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Because evangelism and sharing the good news doesn't necessarily mean these things. Now, if you like going door-to-door, fantastic. If you like standing on the street with a megaphone, knock yourself out. If you like going about it alone, I don't want them to go with me. Have fun. But that's not necessarily what it means. Evangelism means many things. Sharing the gospel means many things. I wish that I could stand up here this morning and tell you. All right, there's 8 steps that we're going to do in order to get somebody off of the path to where they don't understand it into that baptistry. And so here's the 8 steps we're going to do. That step, and then step 2, and then step 3, on into step 8, and then we're going to be baptized. They're going to be baptized, and we're going to be celebrating. I wish that I could do that. I wish that there was a set way to do it. I'm a to-do list person. Anybody a to-do list person? I love my to-do list. I have my Monday to-do list, my Tuesday to-do list. And doesn't it give you much power to check something off? You're just like, ch-ch-ch, and you're like, oh. It just fills you up. So I wish that there was a set way to share the good news. Truth is, we could go around the auditorium right now, and there's so many different ways that people share the good news. You use your talents in order to do it. So I can't stand up here this morning and tell you the exact way to do it, but I can tell you 3 things that we all need to know. We all need to be aware first and acknowledge that people are lost. In order to put on that bag and share the good news, we have to first admit that there are people lost in this world today. There are people searching for the truth. And a couple of years ago, I was able to preach, and I talked about the lies that Satan teaches us and the deceptions of the world today. And when you start off in Genesis chapter 1, it starts with creation. And everything's beautiful, just the way God intended it to be. And then you flip over to Genesis chapter 2, and it says that Adam was formed from dust of the earth, and then he fell into a deep sleep, and God took a rib and formed Eve. Everything's still perfect, just the way God wanted it to be. And then you flip over to Genesis chapter 3, and who shows up? Satan. And this is what Satan says. Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And Eve replied, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And then Scripture says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and was desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And sin entered the world, and Satan won that battle. And you can read all throughout Scripture, starting with Genesis chapter 3, all the way through it. And you can see two stories going on. You can see the story of truth that God has created, and you can see where Satan comes along and changes that truth a little bit into deceptions or illusions or lies. And today, let's be honest. There's many lies that we live by as Christians today. There's many things that we believe and we continue to live by that aren't written in Scripture. And we named some of these a few years ago, but how about this? Money is happiness. How many Christians and people in the world today think, oh, if I just had more money, if I just had $1 million, I would be happy? Well, if that's the truth, how come all millionaires aren't happy? How about this lie? The grass is greener on the other side. We're always chasing something else. And we think, once we arrive there, then I'll be happy. And then when you get there, you look back and go, this is it? This is what I've been chasing this whole time? And so then we start chasing other things. Another lie that Satan has in our lives, deceptions that we live by, we have plenty of time to get right with God. Plenty of time. I'll live till I'm 80, 90 years old, and then I'll get right with God. Plenty of time. Truth is, we all know somebody that died too soon, that left this earth too soon. We're not promised this afternoon. And so we don't have that time. And then one of the biggest lies I think we live by today as Christians is we say that nobody's lost. Everybody's okay. They're okay. Or if we can get our head around it this morning and say, no, I know there's people lost. I know there's people searching. Then we start to make up the lie, but somebody else will tell them. Or somebody already has told them. Or, you know what, they don't want to hear this from me. I don't want to bug them. Let me remind us all of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There are so many people in the world today searching who are lost, and they're searching for happiness, they're searching for peace, they're searching for purpose, but they're searching in all the wrong places. They're chasing what the world tells them is happiness, they're chasing what the world tells them is peace, they're chasing what the world tells them is purpose. Kids, listen to me. If you're a junior high kid, a high school kid, a college kid, adults, what the world tells you is happiness, what the world tells you is peace and purpose is a lie. How can I stand up here this morning and tell you that? Because I was one of those people. I chased what the world told me was happiness. I chased what the world was told me was purpose. When I got to the end of the road, I was empty. I'd hit the bottom of the barrel. And you know what I'm thankful for this morning? Those people in my life that along the way were constantly doing this. Watering it. Scattering the seed. Watering it. And yes, it's sometimes grabbing a handful and throwing it at me. And you know what? For many years, I'll be honest, I didn't want to listen to them. I wanted them to get away from me. They kept scattering that seed in my life, and I kept saying, or I'd act like I'm listening, like, okay, 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 and then I'd go off. Because I didn't want to hear it until one day it set in. And I thought, they're right. They're right. Now, my life didn't change right then, but over time, it was a process. But I thank God for those people. Because if they weren't scattering the seed in my life, and they weren't constantly watering it, if they'd have just finally gotten to the point and said, you know what, I give up, I quit. He's not listening to us. I wouldn't be standing here today. I'd still be lost. I'd be searching. Those people, they saved my life. And I'm very thankful for them. Second thing we have to do, we have to acknowledge that people are lost. Second thing, we have to remember that we have the good news. There's an article written a few weeks ago that said this. Is the good news still good news to Christians, or is it just another story? Many Christians don't share the good news of Jesus with others because they themselves have lost the power of the story. Whew. I don't know if I believe that, but it definitely makes me think. Have we lost the power of the story of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us? Or is that something that we wake up every day and we still hang on to, and that's the reason we wake up? You know, when we hear that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and came into this world and at the age of 30 began his ministry, started performing miracles and teaching in parables and speaking to the people and healing the sick. And then one night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went over and Peter, James, and John told him, said, "Hey, you sit here and pray. Pray that you don't fall into temptation." And then he walked over into the garden and he knelt down and he said, "Father, if possible, please take this cup from me." In other words, Jesus knew what was about to happen. But then he said this, "But not as my will, God, as your will." And he got back up and he went over, and Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, had fallen asleep. And he said, "Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour?" He said, "Look, here comes the betrayer. And off in the distance, here comes Judas, and he betrays him with a kiss." And they took him off, and they arrested him. They took him to the false courts. They had false testimonies, and they beat him, and they flogged him. And they put a crown of thorn on his heads and a robe around him. And he stood amongst the crowd, and the crowd started chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so finally, they got his cross ready, and he's carrying it to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And on the way, he's so weak that he can't even carry it. So they grab somebody out of the crowd named Simon of Cyrene, and he helps him carry it to the place of the skull. And when they get there, they nail him to it. And they put a sign above his head that said, "The King of the Jews." And they place him up on this cross with two criminals on each side. And while he's up on the cross, people are still walking by, mocking and laughing at him, saying things like, "If you really are the Son of God, bring yourself down, then we'll believe in you." But Jesus never said a word. Instead, at the end, he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And into your hands I give my spirit." And Jesus died on that cross. Any minute he could have come off of it, but he didn't. And then people think, well, that's the end of the story. That's it. But then 3 days later, Mary went to the tomb and the stone was rolled back, and an angel of the Lord said, "He is not here. He is risen." And so she ran back to the apostles. And Peter and John took off running, and they got there and saw that it was true. And they came back to the apostles and said, "It's true. His body's not there. It's true." And we always give Thomas a hard time, like Doubting Thomas. I mean, wouldn't you love it if your name was Doubting Cash or whatever? But Thomas said, "I won't believe until I see the holes in his hands. I won't believe until I put my finger in the holes in his hands." And around that time, Jesus appeared and said, "Peace be with you." And the apostles knew their life changed forever. It's because of that story that we're here this morning. It's because of that story that we lift our voices in praise. It's because of that story when we come together as a family that Brother Willie stands up and says, "Good morning, everybody." It's because of that story that no matter what's going on in your life, good or bad, some of you have gotten news recently that somebody in your family or you have cancer. Some of you have gotten bad news that you've lost a loved one. Some of you may have just lost your job this week, or your marriage is going through tough times, or your kids aren't behaving. Whatever news you have in your life right now, inside, even though it's painful, inside you can still smile because you have that story. And you know that this world that we live in today is temporary, but one day we'll be going home because of Jesus, because of that cross. Because that tomb was empty. So let's never forget that we have that story. The second thing that we have to do, as easy as it sounds, we have to acknowledge that people are lost and searching. We have to never forget that we have the good news. And third, we have to go. Like, well, that's pretty simple. Yeah, it is pretty simple. It's not as difficult as we make it to be. We've got to go. And we all know Matthew chapter 28. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say, you know what? Once you acknowledge and understand that people are lost and searching, and once you have been given the story of Jesus and the truth and your purpose, then therefore let's stay. Let's just all stay together. Don't worry about them. Let's just stay together. Therefore stay. It says, therefore go. Francis Chan once made this quote, "Christians are like manure. Keep them in one big pile and they begin to stink, but spread them out everywhere in the community and they begin to make everything else grow." We've got to get out. We've got to go. And you may be saying, okay, well, how do I go? What does that look like? What does it look like for me to go? What does it look like for me to share the good news? You know, back in 1950s, 1960s, you know, they could sell out arenas, have these big gospel meetings, and people would come to hear the good news about Jesus Christ, and a lot were being saved through that. But I don't know for sure if we were to say, hey, Verizon Arena, Tuesday night, be there, we're going to preach about Jesus, if we would be able to sell it out. Now, there may be some show up, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it would sell out. But Gabe Lyons wrote in his book, The Next Christians, he said this, back when there were big gatherings in stadiums, many people were coming to Christ, but times have changed. Today, something different is happening. People are coming to know the truth about Jesus through personal relationships and one-on-one conversations. This is how Christians are spreading the good news. And so in order for us to go, before we can go out and share our testimony, before we can go out and spread the good news, it's pretty simple. We've got to be in people's lives. We've got to build relationships. You know, it's very difficult for me today to go up to somebody that I don't even know and go, hey, you need Jesus, and them go, you're right. It's very difficult to do. But if it's somebody that I have a relationship with, it's very easy for me to share my testimony. It's very easy for me to pray with them. It's very easy for me to spread the good news. And you see this all the time throughout Scripture. But it's going to be difficult for me to build relationships with people if I never leave the 99. And it tells us right here in Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And we read this passage of Scripture. They're going after the lost. But the passage that sticks out to me the most is the one that says, this man, talking about Jesus, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus was amongst the people all the time. He was building relationships. He was in their lives. And he begins to get ridiculed for this. The Pharisees and teachers of the law keep saying, why is he hanging out with those people? Why is Jesus amongst them? And then Jesus replied in Mark chapter 2 that we all know, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. But here's the truth about the sermon this morning. Many in here already acknowledge that people are lost. You know they're lost. So do I. Many in here already acknowledge that people are searching. Many in here already have the truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You remember that story. You will never forget it. It's what you live by. Many of us in here already have relationships with people who are lost and who are searching. But very rarely, here's where I'm going to step on all of our toes. In those relationships, it's very easy to talk about Razorback football. Maybe not today, but you know what I'm saying. It's very easy in those relationships to talk about hunting. It's very easy in those relationships to talk about politics or our kids at school or activities going on in the community. How many times in those relationships do you ever pull this out and say, let me tell you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me pray with you. Let me tell you my testimony. Let me tell you why I get out of bed every day. How many times do we put these on in those relationships? And a recent survey was done that says this. It says, do your friends talk about their Christian faith too much? In other words, my friends never stop talking about Jesus. I'm getting so tired of it. And this survey was done for over thousands and thousands of people. And then when the results came back, it said this. 73% said no. They never talk about it. In other words, 3 out of every 4 Christians, when we're in those groups, we never put this on. That's got to change. Because truth is, this morning, we don't have to go door to door. We don't have to stand on the corner with a megaphone. We don't have to stand in front of hundreds of people to spread the good news. We already have an audience that's waiting, and it's in those relationships that we're with every day. But I'll leave you with this question. When we're with those people that are lost and searching, Do we have enough compassion? Do we have enough love to where no matter what it takes, we're going to put that bag on and we're going to share the good news with them? And if they don't accept it, keep scattering. Because some of you right now are frustrated. You know people that, man, I'm doing this all the time and they're not accepting it. Family members, I'm doing this all the time, they're not accepting it. Keep scattering. Keep watering. We can't make them accept it, but we can keep sharing the good news with them. And as we close this morning, I don't know where you are spiritually, but know that people here love you and care for you. And if you need prayers, the eldership and the staff members would love to pray with you. If you want to come forward and pray, fantastic. If it's intimidating to come up here, which I understand it is, find somebody in the foyer. Find somebody in class. Let's lift each other up in prayer. If you've yet to put on Christ for the forgiveness of your sins through baptism, don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. And if you're a guest with us, once again, we are so glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. And I'll close with the scripture that was read by Adam earlier before we stand and sing. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" Let's be lights in this world today. People need to hear the truth. Let's continue to scatter the seed and make a difference for His kingdom. Thank you for listening to me.